Acts chapter 8. You can go ahead and shut off these floor speakers down here, James. I think you're going to whistle in the monitors, floor monitors. And I want to keep in talking about it's my microphone that's causing the stuff, so. Can you hear me? Okay, as long as you can hear me, that's fine. Acts chapter 8, keeping with talking about the gifts of the Spirit, I want to take you into something that's probably preliminary to talking about that than what we maybe have experienced in the past. In Acts chapter 8, we read this passage where Philip is in Samaria. And I'm going to start reading in verse 4. Better get my specs on so I can see. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his news and to see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. A man named Simon had been a sorcerer there for many years, amazing the people of Samaria and claiming he was great. Everyone from the least to the greatest then spoke of him as the great one, the power of God. They listened to him closely because for a long time he had astonished them with his magic. But now the people believe Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself believed and was baptized and became a follower, or began following Philip. Wherever he went, he was amazed at the signs and the great miracles Philip performed. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, and they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on these people, he offered them money to buy this power. "Let me have this power too," he exclaimed, "so that when I lay hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter replied, "May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts, for I can see that you're full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin." "Pray to the Lord for me," Simon exclaimed, "that these terrible things you have said won't happen to me." After testifying and preaching the word of the Lord in Samaria, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, and they stopped in many Samaritan villages along the way to preach the good news. Now, it's kind of an extended passage of Scripture, but I want you to get some pictures here, first of all. This area, Samaria, was not really accepted by the Jews. We know that from, you know, even when Jesus was with his disciples and walking through and walking around and they around Israel, and they were preaching from Galilee all the way to Jerusalem and beyond. And they didn't spend a lot of time in Samaria. Samaria was that part that was they kind of referred it to as the half-breeds. That's where, that if you remember in the Old Testament and some of the minor prophets, where they separated themselves from their foreign wives and their foreign children, they went to Samaria. So it was called the place of the half-breeds. And the people who lived in that were kind of ostracized by the Jews. They weren't accepted. Although they worshipped God, many of them did, They weren't accepted into the beloved as far as the Jews were concerned. They were considered to be outcasts. And isn't it funny that here's Philip. Philip's there and he's ministering to these people. He's preaching the gospel. He's sharing with them. Philip was one of the guys that was elected to be deacons in the church in Jerusalem. And he's out preaching. Jesus said, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. He was making his way through. He was going to the uttermost parts of the world. He was in Samaria. And he was preaching, and people were receiving the Lord. And miracles were being done. Philip was an incredible man, and he is an incredible man in the Scriptures. And you'll find out later if you read through the book of Acts that he had four daughters, and they were all prophetesses. Four women. I mean, they were fantastic women of God, and these four women were prophets in the church. But Philip, as he's preaching here, these people are receiving the gospel, and they're being transformed. Their lives are being changed. And in the process, we meet this man by the name of Simon. And Simon was a sorcerer, which really basically means he was an ancient days pharmacist. He dispensed drugs, and through his drugs, he got people to see visions and dreams and all sorts of manifestations. So the drugs were used for his magic, and they believed by his magic powder that he could make people do things and see things, and he could make things happen. And he fooled people for a long time. In fact, they called him the power of God. He was considered to be a pretty big shot in the city. All of a sudden, the big shot shows up, Jesus Christ, and Simon isn't as important anymore. And people, instead of flocking to Simon for answers, they're flocking to Philip, this little man, this little deacon from the church in Jerusalem. You know, you understand that Philip didn't go down there to be a great man. He went down there to carry out what Jesus had told him to do. So as he's doing his part, the church in Jerusalem finds out that these people are receiving the Lord. They're receiving the message. They're receiving the gospel. So they sent Peter and John down to pray for these people so they could get the baptism of the Holy Spirit just like they had gotten in Jerusalem. And so that's what the mission was about. It was about imparting the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In this process, in this scripture, you're going to see several of the gifts that we'll talk about in a week or two when I share with you more about these gifts. But you'll see them in operation. And it's not this thing. See, I grew up in Pentecost. I grew up in a Pentecostal church from the time I was old enough to open up a hymnal and write in it, which I got in trouble for. But I was old enough to write a hymnal and write in it. I was in a Pentecostal church. And so I grew up in this, and I knew it. And what happened was that the gifts of the Spirit became almost a mystical thing. We couldn't have been any more mystical than if we'd have wrapped our head in a turban and called ourselves Swami. And it was like that we were trying to step into this mystical world. And remember that the Word of God and the world of God is mystical. It's a spiritual world. But we don't have to be weird about it. And we got weird. And things got weird, and people got weird, and we got more. It was more important about what people, you know, thought of us rather than what God was trying to say through us. And it became more important about what the vessel was rather than what the vessel was being used to do. Notice in here that nobody draws attention to the fact that although Philip is being there, it's God who's delivering. It's God who's setting free. It's God who is healing people. It's the lame who are walking, the blind who are seeing, the deaf who are hearing, that people are being healed, the people who have demon problems and demon knowledge is happening there. They're being set free, and as they get set free, the demons scream and yell and make a big scene about it, trying to draw attention to themselves. But there's no attention being drawn to Philip. God's instrument and God's vessel was just there to do God's work. See, this is the part of the gifts that we have to get straight. Is that when God wants to use us, He's wanting to use us for His opportune time, not for ours. He's wanting to use us so that He can prove that He can use us. And it's not proving to Him, it's proving to you. We got to stop being weird about His movement and the things He wants to do and the things He wants to say in and through us. We got to stop being weird about that. And let God have His way. Understand that if you are one of His sheep, if you're one of His flock, the Scripture promises that you can hear His voice. People will say, well, how do you do that? It takes practice. It takes practice. It takes time spent with Him so you recognize who He is. You know, and it's kind of a sad story, but I don't know why my brother's kids were scared to death of me when they were little, but they were. I mean, from the time they were born, I'd come into a room and they'd scream and run the other way. And it was, this is the truth, and my wife will verify this. All five of them. There's six of them. I can't remember now the number. Anyway, every one of them were scared to death of me. In fact, when we were having a family thing at my sister's place in the pool, and I was in the pool with them, and I was in this place, and I was trying to be an uncle, a good uncle, and playing with them and stuff, and boy, they weren't having nothing to do with me, nothing at all, zero. And my brother came over to me and says, will you stop traumatizing my kids? Well, here's the problem. They hadn't gotten used to me. They hadn't been able to be acquainted with me and who I was. They hadn't become familiar with my voice, my mannerism, the kind of person I was. As they got to know me, now it's like, Uncle Mike, no biggie. In fact, it was really great. The twins, when they finally came to embrace me as their uncle, not this strange, scary guy. It was a Christmas time, and they got out in the car and they started home, and all of a sudden they started crying, and they go, we forgot to go home. Uncle Mike, he's going to think we hate him. Now, I give you this story so that you understand the same thing happens with us at God. We have to spend time with Him. We have to be in His presence. We have to allow Him and His voice to be spoken into our life so we will recognize it when He actually speaks to us. We do that through prayer time, through reading of the Word of God, getting into it and understanding what the Scripture says. If you understand what the Scripture says, if you can just get it so that you're reading it out there, you're going to get the words of God into your soul. And then when He speaks to you, you're going to recognize Him saying, yeah, that's what God would say. That's what God would say. It's not going to be weird stuff. One of the cardinal rules of understanding the things of God and the Scripture and the action of the Word, action of the gifts of the Spirit is this very important thing. If it doesn't agree with the Bible, reject it. If it doesn't agree with what the Scripture is saying, push it aside because it's not of God. God is not going to give us extra biblical stuff when He operates in the Word, when He operates in His gifts, when He operates in speaking into our lives. He's not going to tell you something that the Bible doesn't agree with. That doesn't mean He may not give you some direction in your life. But He's not going to sit there and say, go and kill your neighbor. I just got a word from the Lord. He wants me to go kill my neighbor. No, He doesn't. He says, love your neighbor. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Well, if you'd grown up where I had, that word coming to you, I'd had maybe two or three people would say, yeah, I heard that word from the Lord too. It's like we stopped in there believing or understanding that God's not going to tell you something that doesn't agree with what He's already written for us to understand. When we gather together, the action of the gifts of the Spirit are there to emphasize the things that God has spoken. They're to encourage us in the ways in which He is leading, the way in which He pushes us forward. It's so that we will walk in a path that's upright before Him, in agreement with Him, in the way that He wants us to walk. It's not so that we'll get out here and do some kind of weird stuff and, crazy stuff. And I'm not saying that God doesn't tell people sometimes to do some stuff that seems weird. And I could tell you some stories about that. One in particular, we met a youth pastor who was just an incredible guy out of Atlanta, Georgia. And in their church at that time, They had a well-known couple who were in the Christian music. They sang and traveled around. Barry McGuire's little brother and Reba McEntire. They're married. And at that time, Reba couldn't have a baby. And they would have been trying and trying, and she just couldn't get pregnant. There was something the doctors couldn't figure out. There was nothing medically they could do or anything. And this youth pastor's name was Dwayne Swilly. He was, you know, in the prayer line one night. They were praying. And I can't remember Barry's little brother's name, but anyway, Danny. Danny and Reba came forward to get prayed for. And they stood before Dwayne. And as Dwayne was praying, the Lord told him to do something. Now, these are the places where you're stepping out here. It wasn't a violation of the Scripture, but it just seemed kind of outlandish. And it was one of those places, if you learn to hear the voice of the Lord, he'll tell you stuff, but you got to understand. He only tells you to do those things, not so you do them all the time. And the Holy Spirit told him, he says, I want you to punch her in the stomach. And he's going, he says, Jesus, you know, I'm standing here in front of our congregation. And, you know, Lord, I really, if this is really you, you know, this is the one you want, the fleeces and everything going to really make sure this is you, Lord. And the Holy Spirit says, you know, this is what I want you to do. And so he leaned down and for Danny and Reba, and he whispered in their ear, and he says, I want you to know something. He says, do you trust me? And he says, we trust you explicitly. Because the Lord's told me to do something, and I just want to make sure you understand that I'm not doing this I'm doing this because this is what he said. And they said, no, Dwayne, we trust you explicitly. So Dwayne hauled off, and he punched Reba in the stomach. And she doubled over there, and they prayed her back to health. And but what had happened was, unbeknownst to her, unbeknownst to even the physicians, there was a blockage that was in her abdomen, in her fallopian tubes, and the action, the thrust, the impact of that punch broke it loose, and within 10 months Reba was pregnant. Now, those are those moments where you step out and you trust the Lord. Did it violate the Scripture? No, it didn't. Although there's no place in the Scripture where it says punch your flock, you know. But it's those places where when God speaks, and you got to know that he's speaking to you, you have to understand his voice and what he would say and how he speaks, that you're able to step out into the faith realm and say, that's what God would do. That's what God said to do. Let's walk it. Let's walk through this. And she was healed. Now, we don't have a prayer ministry here called the punching line. You who need to be punched today will gather on this side of the church. It's not that way. That isn't the way it works. But sometimes God speaks to us to do things that we didn't normally would do. But it's, if you don't know his voice, if you don't understand what he's saying, you're not going to catch what he's doing. Here's what happens here in Simon's case here. Simon has played this game with the church. He says, oh yeah, I believe. He went and he got baptized. He wanted to be in the thick of things. He wanted to be following. And he hung out right close to Philip, wanted to see what he did and how he did it. And you know, maybe he could be a part of this healing thing going on. And he's right there with him. And so when the Holy Spirit started getting imparted to people, what did he do? Oh, I want that too. And so he starts getting out the money bag and saying, you guys, here's some money. You give me that power so I can do that too. And it revealed his heart, that his heart wasn't changed. It was also revealed that Simon wasn't listening to the right spirit. He was listening to another spirit. Here is what's so desperately important as Christians. As Christians, it's important for us to be listening to the right spirit. And you're not going to know it's the right spirit unless you spend time learning the voice.